Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, made for the people who power U.S. healthcare. I'm Molly Gamble of Becker's, thrilled today to have spent some time with Dr. Ashish Barad, Chief Digital and Information Officer with Allegheny Health Network. Dr. Barad, thanks so much for being our guest on the podcast today. How are you and where does the podcast find you?
Thanks for having me, Molly. I'm excited to be on the podcast and I am doing well. I am in the City of Bridges. So Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, has a lot of bridges. And being that I'm from Texas, it's a new venture, but it's a fantastic town.
Yeah, well, for listeners who could use a refresh on Allegheny Health Network, I'm based in Pittsburgh. Can you share a few other key facts about the system and organization for our listeners just to get reacquainted?
Yeah, happy to. So yeah, Allegheny Health Network, as you said, based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Western Pennsylvania, and is a 14-hospital system, about 2,500 beds, 22,000 employees, and about 3,000 physicians and other providers. And we serve around 29 counties here, and some portions of New York, Ohio, West Virginia, about $5 billion in annual revenue. And we are owned by Highmark Health, which is obviously a very large insurance company. I believe it's the fourth or fifth largest Blue Cross Blue Shield in the U.S. and serves roughly five states, but also has national members. So it's just a unique aspect of what makes AHN a bit different.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned coming up from Texas. I should let listeners know, congratulations on passing the one-year mark in your role as CDIO. You've been with Allegheny Health Network, but you took on a new role, expanded to include the CIO hat to your CDO role in January of 2023. What have been the biggest lessons you've learned in this time, in this past year, ways you've grown throughout this past year? What comes to mind?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So thank you for the congrats. It's been really nice to kind of own, quote unquote, the full tech stack. And I think, you know, as far as the lessons learned, I think a few, you know, I came from a very, very large health system in Texas. And I'm sure everybody liked each other and everybody was good friends. But you could only imagine that the chief digital officer's roadmap may not always align with the CMIO's roadmap, may not always align with the CIO's roadmap, and many others. So the fact that I wear all those hats, so I'm in charge of the informatics shop as well with Epic and the data shop as well as virtual health. So I do wear a lot of hats depending on the meeting I go to, probably from 30 minutes to 30 minutes. But all of that really allows us to have one roadmap that's very succinct and has a kind of clear trajectory, vision, you know, roadmap to it. So that has really been very helpful to really be able to create impact. And I guess that's the other point that I'll answer a question with, which is, you know, lessons learned in this role, not just at Allegheny Health Network, but just in the industry, is, you know, it's not just about disrupting healthcare. I know we talk a lot about disrupting healthcare, and trust me, I'm a big believer on the fact that it needs to be disrupted on some accounts. But, you know, I see a lot of disruptors. I don't always see a lot of impactors. And what I mean is just sometimes it is about the impact. And I think we need to be very clear about what impact we're trying to achieve. You know, many people will say, be very clear about what problem you're trying to solve. And I think we say it a lot, but I think many, many times we get over our skis at times trying to disrupt the process without really understanding what impact we're trying to achieve. So that's probably been one of the biggest lessons in the last couple of years here, and trying to focus the team and focus everybody's efforts on the impact.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I appreciate that a lot because I remember probably around 10 years ago, the slogan, something fail fast. This is going to come more easily to you.
Right. I mean, the fail fast, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, before this for the listeners, you know, I spent 11 years at Baylor Scott & White. So again, the larger health system that I alluded to earlier, and gosh, I learned so much. I called it my, you know, second fellowship. So I am a pediatric gastroenterologist. I still practice, but it was such a fabulous learning experience. And we had a product team and an experience team and a design team, and You know, it's just a very different experience. But part of that is we did, you know, bring a lot of trades from Amazon and Google and Best Buy and other retail aspects, and we talked a lot about within the product world of failing fast. And lessons learned there, and especially, you know, ones that I lead here, is that I think what often we don't realize or think about, especially if you didn't grow up in healthcare, is that, you know, if you think back at the origins of healthcare and the history of everything we've done, including the EMR, it has been a bit up through the lens of safety first, right? I mean, even the Hippocratic Oath that I took in medical school, do no harm. That inherently is saying, first, think about safety, right? Do no harm. So and there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we should absolutely think about that, especially in the age of AI as we look at that. That all being said, though, fail fast is conceptually at odds, you know, with that concept of safety first. So, right, as a doc, and I want to bring in a new med, especially in pediatrics, and I want to give, you know, some experimental medication to a child for, let's say, Crohn's disease, I'm not going to just experiment and fail fast and think about, you know, I'll deal with it and I'll learn, I'll iterative, we'll be agile. And we'll sprint, you know, to figure out really, you know, what the process is. That's not going to happen in medical care. If I'm in the ICU, I want it to be tried and true, and I want a lot of random controlled trials and peer studies, and I want my, you know, professors who mentored me to say, yes, I've done this 10 times and it works, or it doesn't work, or try this. It's just inherent in our culture and our training that we really take a long time before it actually hits bedside medicine. So I think to your point, you know, inside what we're trying to do with innovation now and digital and virtual and AI and what have you, it's this mentality of fail fast is really to many degrees just very culturally abrasive to kind of the core of how we're trained. And so I think, you know, that doesn't mean that it doesn't apply. That doesn't mean we can't do those things. But I think in my position, I'm well poised, I believe, just as a practicing physician. That's, you know, I was section chief of a department. I was a leader in a children's hospital for 16 years. So I know the front lines. I know operations. I know clinical medicine enough to be able to know, you know, what's really going to fly inside that model. What are you allowed to touch, if you will, and fail fast at, and what's kind of sacred ground, if you will, and you need to really be more thoughtful and careful before you start disrupting certain models.
The slogan or motto I butchered there was that from Mark Zuckerberg, the internal motto at Facebook for early 2010s, that move fast and break things, which I think Facebook arguably very much has broken a lot of things. But to talk about ideologically at odds, I think that is one slogan, like you said, culturally abrasive is a good term for it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate and listen, I am that guy that wants to break things truly and really, you know, re-engineer it and re-rebuild it to be, you know, whether it be consumer-centric or provide higher quality care and decrease the burden on caregivers, and we can go on and on, because I think there's some fundamental things that we do need to kind of break, if you will, and put them back together. So it is. It's just it's a it's it, I often I feel like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sometimes, right? Where I'm on one side of it, I'm talking about how we're going to break things, and then with the docs, I need to make sure that I'm thoughtful, careful, responsible, ethical, and pushing them at the right pace to be able to within their comfort zones.
Well, talk a little bit about your vision, if you will. You mentioned you are a physician. You also are leading technology and digital efforts. What's the vision you're working toward at AHN right now? Can you spell it out for us in a bit more detail so we can envision it with you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that, you know, as I described the system, it's very important context now as we talk about vision. You know, what worked in Texas is not necessarily going to work in Western Pennsylvania. And I do think, you know, healthcare is local, and the dynamics, the state laws, the policies, as well as just the demographics, the payer mix, population, is it growing, is it not growing? you know, all those things are really relevant. So, you know, I'm sure, Molly, as you talk to a lot of different chief digital officers, strategy officers, what have you, it's going to be inherently different based on what system they're at, what state they're at, they're in, and what's the population that they're taking care of, and what does digital mean to them. So having said that, being that we have a very large payer that owns us, and an enterprise that comes with that, with many more companies besides Highmark Inc. In a diversified business model, including an IT company, a dental company, and others, is we really look at a much broader ecosystem and how Allegheny Health Network really fits into that broader ecosystem. So we talk often about Allegheny Health Network being a pace setter or a living laboratory, if you will, within the broader Highmark strategy. And that strategy is called Living Health. And the Highmark Health Living Strategy, Living Health Strategy, really focuses, and I'll just be very kind of overly simplistic about it, is really creating personalized, proactive, simplified experiences, and these experiences really lead to more engagement by, in Highmark Health terms, you know, the member, the patient. And if they're more engaged in their health, and then, you know, that can lead to better outcomes, you know, assuming we're helping orchestrate and navigate them to the right solutions, programs, benefits. And those improved outcomes make healthcare more affordable, right, which is important to us all, as we know we're not on that trajectory. So as I outline that, being that it's the Highmark Health Living Health Strategy, to say Allegheny Health Network plays a very, very important role in seeing how we actually make that actionable, make that really truly come to life inside of a, you know, relatively large health system that is not also closed. Half our claims are through Highmark Health, and that means half our claims are through governmental business and other commercial payers. And so to be doing that inside of an open system is really complex. It's really tough. So building a strategy that really works in both worlds, and so we are, as of this year, fully at risk in a value-based care arrangement with all lines of business, with Highmark Health, but we are also living in the fee-for-service world with our other books of business, many of them, not all of them, but many of them. So to then that poses the issue for me, as you asked me about the vision, is how do you operate in both worlds at the same time and really create these wonderful experiences for all people that touch us and our health system in many different ways, home, virtual, physical assets, and digital, and still really, you know, create those wonderful experiences that lead to engagement and better outcomes. That's, you know, it's tough. That's the vision, if you will. So, you know, within that, right, we're really thinking about orchestration of care. That's kind of the key word that I'll use, is really, you know, being with people. And I always envision a world where I know we will be building to, especially generative AI now, in which we should know you need us before you know you need us. And really, if you just simply said, you know, what is it that you really want healthcare to get to, is I think we're there. We have the data. We have a lot of the tools to be able to do that. But we haven't really done that yet, right? So I want to build a role in which, you know, before you know that you need to engage with us, you know, we have enough data, information, trust, that's a big word there, to where we can then help orchestrate and navigate your healthcare journey before you know you need us. And I think as we really build that role and are able to do that, and I think a system like ours with the provider and a payer, really in a blended way, is going to have the data and the intelligence and the engagement capabilities to perhaps actually achieve that to improve outcomes. So that's the vision.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty big vision. And just to clarify, when you say that, how do you operate in both worlds at the same time? You're talking about the fee-for-service and the at-risk models.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember the phrase about like having one leg and one foot on the dock, one on the boat. It's been put to use so many more times, but it's still very much true today, as it was about 10, 15 years ago, it sounds like.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but it certainly feels like that many days. So, yeah, that hits home. And you know, I think that again, you know, I'll put my physician hat on, and it's important to say, physicians don't inherently treat patients different based on the insurance card that they carry. When you walk into an emergency room, when you walk into an office, when you walk in and you do a video visit, the provider, the care teams, it's not just physicians, but nurses, the care team, the whole EVS, they're not going to look at that badge. They're not going to look at inside that, you know, section of Epic and the storyboard to say, you know, which insurance are you? So as we solve for that, it's important that, you know, we treat people as people. So the solutions, the programs, the digital, you know, the physical programs that we have really need to be able to solve for all of our people that we serve. And so the challenge is, and they're there, is how do you find ways to do that where you really don't have to go to the care teams and say, I need you to look at what badge they're wearing today. Are they at risk, or are they a fee for service? So it's a tough challenge. And some across the country, we've talked to a lot of other health systems. Some are going down that path and saying, we're going to really, you know, do this kind of divergent model where we're going to have care teams that only take care of at risk, and we're going to have care teams that only take care of fee for service. And nothing wrong. I just think that inherently we're trying to really create a world in which we're just proactive and preventative in the right way for all patients. But we do need to be thoughtful about how that, fiscally, falls out.
Dr. Ashish Bharad, Chief Digital Information Officer with Allegheny Health Network. I want to thank you again for being my guest today on the podcast. Any closing thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with as we wind down?
Oh gosh. Would just say that I would encourage all. I did not in any way meant to mean to discourage any of the disruptors that are out there. I think that we need it in healthcare. I encourage others to get into this and help us. I think the future is partnership, and we absolutely need outside thinkers and other ecosystem partners that come in and help us disrupt ourselves. I look forward to that world. And Molly, thanks again for having me on the Becker's podcast.
Thanks for being our guest, Dr. Brad.